Fitter, Happier. A program about your health for your health.
Today, HIV is considered a chronic but manageable condition which can be treated. Most people who are diagnosed with HIV lead normal and healthy lives with a similar life expectancy to people who don't have HIV. It's World AIDS Day on Friday, the 1st of December, tomorrow. The WA Department of Health is the primary funder for the WA AIDS Council. The WA Council leads the WA community in the provision of a wide range of services and the prevention of HIV, sexually transmitted infections and bloodborne viruses, and the treatment and care of people living with HIV and AIDS. Unfortunately, our friend Justin couldn't join us today, but instead we have Gary Couchel. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
So what is WA AIDS Day all about?
Okay,
so World AIDS Day, sorry.
That's fine. So World AIDS Day was inaugurated many years ago as a global awareness day, just to raise awareness and to show support to people living with HIV. There's always a very strong component of remembering and commemorating people who've died from HIV and AIDS. And of course, remembering the depth of the epidemic 30 years ago was horrific. And to just keep it in people's minds, to keep the conversation going about HIV and AIDS. And also there is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV Awareness Week, which promotes HIV awareness within the Aboriginal community.
Okay, so what are the stats of HIV in WA at the moment?
Well, we're very lucky, actually. This year particularly, we've seen about a 50% decrease on numbers from last year. I hate talking about stats because it sounds quite impersonal, but notifications for HIV and WA have steadily decreased over the past decade. There was a peak of 139 cases in 2014. Since then, there's been a 17% decrease in the number of annual cases that are notified to the Health Department. Last year we had 116 people diagnosed in WA with HIV. There's a key message, of course. How many people are there living with HIV? Well, not everyone's been tested, so if people aren't sure, they should get tested.
Mm. So I know you are a clinical nurse consultant from the M Clinic. What does the M Clinic do?
The M Clinic, so we're fully funded with great thanks, by the Health Department, part of the WA AIDS Council funding. So we're primarily a peer support, non-judgmental HIV STI screening clinic. So we test for HIV, bloodborne viruses, hepatitis A and B, C, gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis. So we're all about not just testing but also about peer support and education.
So how are people in Australia getting HIV?
Primarily through unprotected sex, so sex without condoms. and there is a good argument to say that people who are on HIV treatment do have a very strong degree of protection in passing on transmission, so you can't just think about condoms. However, unprotected sex, primarily anal sex, is the primary means of transmission, but also unprotected vaginal sex. And the next... best way, that sounds awful, is sharing of needles and injecting equipment.
Mm. Mm. So how can people prevent the spread of HIV?
Okay, so the number, I do tell my clients sometimes the only way to absolutely avoid it is to never have sex again. However, that's not an option. So condoms is always going to be the gold standard. so also people getting tested and knowing that if they're HIV positive and getting onto treatment, that actually prevents onward transmission. so there's also importance of people that do inject drugs to make sure that they're not sharing needles, not sharing injecting equipment. Unfortunately, it's a very efficient means of transmitting the virus.
Mm. So how does one know that if they have HIV, if they have a suspicion?
Sure. A lot of people think, oh, I'm sure I've got HIV because I've had flu symptoms or because I've had a rash. The only way to know is to have a blood test. And that's the only way you're going to know.
Okay. So let's talk about treatment. What treatments are available for people who do have HIV?
We're actually very lucky in Australia because we have access to all of the wide range of medications that are available. Some countries have very limited access. So the treatments today, they're always improving. And access in Australia is extremely good, despite what some people think. We have an excellent healthcare system, and medication and treatment through the public hospitals is provided for free.
Oh, great. So what is pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PREP?
PREP, so PrEP. So pre-exposure prophylaxis is the use of an HIV medication, which has been around for about 15 to 20 years. It's been used for HIV treatment. Some really good research was done over many years to show that if people take that medication every day, they've got the medication in their system. If they do become exposed to HIV, it will actually block the life cycle of the virus, and it has been shown to be up to 96% effective in preventing HIV taking hold in the body. And we could also say that 97, 98% effectiveness with condoms, because they sometimes break and they sometimes come off. So we're looking at about roughly equal with the use of condoms.
Okay. So what about post-exposure prophylaxis, or PEP?
Okay. There's a bit of a good, I'm glad you asked that question, because post-exposure prophylaxis is exactly the same medication that's used for PrEP. Post-exposure prophylaxis, it was used, started to be used for healthcare workers many years ago who may have been exposed to HIV. It's an emergency after measure, which is available again through the public hospitals for free. Anyone who thinks they've been exposed needs to get onto that particular medication as soon as possible. The window is no more than 72 hours, but preferably within 4 hours. And by getting onto the medication as soon as possible, you greatly reduce your risk of developing HIV infection.
So treatment has advanced, but to what extent is there still stigma around HIV?
Oh, unfortunately. The stigma and discrimination is still very strong. There's still a lot of urban myths about HIV. The spitting laws, for example, are absolutely appalling. You cannot transmit HIV that way. Talking to some of our clients at the clinic, as soon as they mention to somebody that they might want to meet up with, to say, yes, look, I'm HIV positive, but, you know, I'm on treatment, I'm healthy, they're very often rejected out of hand because they're dirty, quote unquote. So, unfortunately, the discrimination and stigma is very, very strong still, even, unfortunately, within some parts of the LGBT community.
So what can we do to better understand and support people living with HIV?
Right. Well, supporting people is really just the best way is to educate, I think, the community, first of all. For those who are experiencing discrimination and stigma, to be a support to them, but also to somehow get the message out to the community that they're not infectious, they're not dangerous, they're not toxic. It's a chronic manageable illness these days. So public awareness, and unfortunately there's not enough awareness in a lot of schools either. I have young guys come into the clinic thinking, oh my God, you know, I had oral sex with somebody and now I think I've got AIDS. So the education component and awareness is really important for the community.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Gosh, I could talk forever about my job. But I think, you know, the huge encouraging thing is the strength of the healthcare system. We've got excellent treatments, excellent access to care. Nobody needs to fear that they won't be looked after. And although HIV is not a pleasant diagnosis, we can tell people most people will live a normal, happy life and do very well on medication, and it is not a dire death sentence like it used to be.
Mm. Well, thank you again so much for coming on and talking about something so important, Gary. I really appreciate it.
Very welcome.
That was Gary Cushell, the clinical nurse consultant from the M Clinic, talking to us about HIV and AIDS ahead of World AIDS Day, tomorrow, on December the 1st. You're listening to RTR FM 92.1.
This has been an RTR FM podcast. RTR FM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.